you guys missed all the pre-show chismisan.
Parang we've had a show for 30 minutes trying to figure out which celebrity has been using Ozempic.
Well.
We will not name names.
And, yeah, and all, like, yeah, friends who are, oh my gosh. Guys, we're Asian. I just want to say, I don't know, this isn't ano naman, no? Parang dissuading people
where
from
was this going
to Bello. But, you know, you just think twice before getting, you know.
Augmented.
Yeah.
I see.
I feel like, you know, like we don't need it too early in life.
Wow.
This is from the man whose house is a house of fandom.
No, liposuction is great, whatever, you know. But I guess facelifts, no? Parang pang ano yan, pang puti.
Whatever makes the person happy.
I guess, right?
Yan, like, diba? Yeah, that's always the mantra that your mom says.
That's true.
When she goes on interviews.
Oh, whatever gives you, person. True.
What's the name of that segment? Deep Thoughts.
With Jack Handy.
Manifestations and Affirmations. Before they got USO. This is an old SNL skit, by the way.
Yeah.
Greetings.
Hey.
This is End Slate, an anima podcast.
And yeah. We'll have an Ozempic thread coming at you on Facebook pretty soon.
Coming at you with a special episode.
From me, from Cavite.
Wow, no one's in Manila. I'm in Singapore,
Cavite
of course.
In the Philippines.
Philippines.
Yeah.
Quark in Singapore. And for once, I am in Hong Kong. So each host in a different city, but we're all in the same time zone.
Yeah.
What's up?
That's true.
My. Look at us.
My gosh. How's Hong Kong? Are you having fun? Is it great?
That's Airport Island over here.
What have you been doing? About the event?
Did you go to Lan Kwai Fong?
Yeah, but what event are you there to cover?
There is a new
Hong Kong
section or new attractions at Disneyland Hong Kong. And I think by the time this comes out, that embargo will be lifted. And it's
well, I've already seen photos.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
On IG.
There are new shows in China.
No. It's a new show. It's so funny because there's like a bunch of Caucasian actors and they all speak English. And then it'll cut in the live show to the like Spider-Man who's masked and Ant-Man who's masked. And then they'll start talking in Cantonese. But there's no subtitles. So I'm like, oh wow, they're just all talking to each other. It's great.
Is it strange, you know? Does he have his little magic show?
Yes, he does. Like the hand movements. Like this is like commitment.
Does the cape move? But he has balls?
No.
Okay,
the cloak? Orbs. No.
How about the... What's the Dora Milaje? Do they have their thing?
Wala eh. But ang weird... Well, hindi naman weird. But nandun si ano... Si Peter Quill. Star-Lord and Gamora are there.
Mm.
Who else? Thor. There's a Captain Marvel. And then, yeah. Iron Man is in a mask.
When is it opening? In the kingdom,
it's begun already.
Are there rides? No.
Yeah, not a new ride, but there's a new drone show. That's one of the things. Oh. So there's like an attack by Hydra, and there's like Toby Jones doing his voice, So there's a drone show, and then there's also a really nice light show with a castle. I haven't been to a Disneyland since I was a child in LA, and then. So very recently, kasi diba, I mean, not super recent, but projection mapping has only become a thing in the last 10 years, maybe. So the castle show now is incredible because it's not just projection mapping. Of course, there's like music. The fountains go so high. There's lasers. There's drones. And then there's fireworks.
This is
so
the one like, with Mickey doing the Fantasia stuff, right? That's also the part of the...
It used to be, but now it's like this medley. It's like
a nighttime. It's a nighttime parade, right?
Yeah. And it's genuinely like Main Street is packed. Like everyone's seated. It's so sweet to see. I'm not even like ashamed to say na naiyak ako because one of the songs in the medley is Remember Me from Coco.
Mm. Oh.
And then ang ganda kasi may montage of all the dead parents in Disney movies. And then
of the attendees.
I mean the cartoons, you know what I mean?
they facial recognize you and then like, okay, who are the parents of this person? Like,
the AI surveys in which we who are the orphans here?
Technology today.
I mean, that's a great idea, I think. Like, they'll just scan your retina at this person's parents then.
Sa Haunted Mansion, di ba? Like, when you're writing the thing and the ghosts are there.
Oh, multo.
Lolo, is that
hey,
you?
Disney, you're welcome. This is a golden idea. Beautiful. You're welcome. De nada.
May gulay. But genuinely, it was very moving because you also realize ang daming dead parents in Disney cartoons, di ba? Like, not just Coco, but like, even like grandparents like Moana and her Lola.
Frozen is made of dead
Frozen,
parents.
Frozen, both dad, parents.
I forget. No, I think
no,
did.
Her mom.
No, the mom. And then
Cinderella's dad is dead.
Bambi. So it was like, wow.
It's a parade of orphans, like, pretty much.
It's a trope, basically. You realize like, oh yeah.
And it's so nice writing the old school, as an older person, when you write like yung mga Haunted Mansion and mga
walang Haunted Mansion. What? I didn't get to write it.
It's in Frontierland.
Hong Kong.
So
in Hong Kong.
In Hong Kong, yeah. So the ones I wrote here were Hyperspace Mountain, which is kind of weird. It's a Star Wars roller coaster, but it's inside a building, so it's also in the dark. So my video of me was useless. It was just black screen and me screaming. But you're basically in a TIE fighter dogfight in space, and it's cool. But because it's so dark, it's like I can't tell how high up I am. There's none of that, you know, thrill of like fear of heights kicking in. It's just, you know, being thrown around. Grizzly Gulch is the best roller coaster here. There's one also that's in the world of Frozen, but it's like a 40-minute wait.
Okay, that's 40-minute ride.
40-minute wait is nothing. No. Hello.
40-minute wait for a 1-minute ride, and it's not that like intense.
40 minutes is not bad because Indiana Jones is still 2 hours long.
Wow.
That ride.
But yeah.
But I'm sure you get to cut lines.
Sometimes long. Like some rides. Like Grizzly Gulch. And you only get to do it once. We rode Grizzly Gulch twice in a row because it was medyo evening na, and then there weren't that many people. And since it was the best, we were like, oh, let's do this again.
I'll never
Why
get
not?
Sick of Disneyland.
Sure. Were you with influencers or just good old journalists?
Shout out to Edwin. Hey, Edwin.
Who doesn't listen to the show, but always comments on the...
but so active on our
Facebook. Always has something to say.
I don't know if there are any influencers. I think they're all like publications, but the content creators of those publications.
But go journos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Woo, it's been Civil War.
Fan.
Go journos.
Wow, what does...
Civil War.
From Disneyland to Civil War by Alex Garland.
Are we going to do a rundown of the stuff we saw?
I just want to say, so we released our NSYNC cheat sheet key art last week, and I was shocked that a lot of people protested your Fallout grade.
I know. Terrible.
Oh, on the post?
Yeah. They're like, this should have been a green.
How many episodes into Fallout are you now, Ramon?
I finished it now. I finished
No, so you're still a no. It's still a no.
Do you redact redact the K-Lang?
No. I mean, I'm not the biggest Westworld fan either, diba?
But yeah, well, Matt Arcelia, the first, well, speaking of our Facebook regulars, like, that's the first glowing review I've ever seen him give in his life.
He liked Fallout. Oh, okay.
Well, he was grinning ear to ear naman at the premiere of the first two episodes, so I expect that from him. But it did get better, I'll say that. I'm just not saying it's a must-watch. So, you know, and I'm glad that I think Nolan only directed 3 episodes.
Mm.
And then it got better after.
And then there were protestations that we put three body problem too high. I told you,
there's
Carl.
Only one protest. There were protestations.
There were like three.
No, there was one. I'm going to go to the freaking post.
Wala ako dito. I didn't see that.
There were I two still think it should have been. Was yours. Nope. It's a no for me.
Wait, it was too high in the kilang?
Parang.
Parang ano. Oh. This is dapat daw lower.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, that was a great pilot key art.
Yeah.
I will say with Fallout, though, I'm more curious to see where it goes sa season 2.
Yeah, nga, no, yung mga Fallout, ano, no? Hive. Wild.
Yeah.
May pa Paolo Valenciano and Paolo
Narciso. Yeah, he said it was the best comic book adaptation. Video game adaptation.
Okay, that's already wrong.
He said better than Last of Us, Pal V.
Parang they were studying Last of Us, diba? I mean, it's not really even kasi an adaptation. It actually exists after the most recent game. They've said that, I think, already officially. So I think what Matt also was responding to was like, a way forward for these adaptations is you don't have to actually do the story of the game, but set it in the world and have it feel like it's the same thing or in the same spirit, basically. And I sort of agree, although except, of course, you know, there are these rare unicorns like The Last of Us that do such a good job.
Yeah.
Cool.
Okay. All right. So what's the end slate recommends?
This week, what's your cheat sheet?
Why don't we start with Quark's Late Night?
Late Night, which it just came from. Late Night with the Devil. Late Night with the Devil is produced by many people to the point that people in the theater started laughing because there were like literally nine or ten.
Yeah, I heard about that.
I wonder why. Why is that?
I don't know. It's hard to get funding for an indie
film. That's true.
And Abu Dhabi came in. Money came in. Oh, I think Shudder eventually took it. But, you know, it doesn't look naman super high budget. But it's directed by another Australian brother duo. I just forget their names. Let me
look at them.
Yeah. So I guess there's a new Australian wave of horror.
All siblings.
Talk to Me.
Yeah. It's Cameron and Colin Cairns. And similarly to Talk to Me, it's just, it's fun, stupid, loud horror. That's great, a great watch for Halloween between teen friends. The concept is basically, there's this guy who really wants to be number one. He's always number two with Johnny Carson. So he does everything. At one point he brings his dying wife to the show, et cetera, but he never gets to number one. And then finally he brings, a person who's kind of like an exorcist, with her patient. He has three guests. One is like a clairvoyant who suddenly sees the dead wife of the host, and then the second is this guy who's like a magician and hypnotist, but is also bent on kind of like disproving all of these things. And then the third is the exorcist and her ward, who she rescued from a satanic cult. But yeah, basically, you know, chaos ensues. Hijinks. And at first it's found footage in the sense that the structure is really like a talk show, but during the commercial breaks there's like behind the scenes. That's where it kind of lost half a point for me, because basically the behind the scenes are like, oh wow, it's shot literally like a film, two cameras and so crisp and everyone is mic'd. So I hate it when they do that, right? When it's found footage and they kind of like break the rules. But towards the end, it just becomes completely, it's like too many cooks. Parang ganun. Ganun
too many good producers, you mean? Too many producers.
No, you know that skit?
Alam mo magta 10 years na yan, ah.
I read one Letterboxd review. It's like, wow, this is the longest Eric Andre episode that I've ever seen. So it does get completely bonkers. I think you'll have fun, Mel. Like,
It's not too scary, right? Yeah. I think that's what I read.
But I mean, devil, so, you know, some people really don't like devil, no matter what, right? But
but it's like Barbarian, right? No, it's fun to watch.
Yeah, it's fun to watch, yeah. And it's more tongue-in-cheek than Barbarian. It's really like Talk to Me. It's kind of like that tone. So
more Talk to Me or Too Many Crooks?
It's more Too Many Crooks.
Trailer pa lang ng Talk to Me,
That's a good comparison. That will entice me.
And hence, it's a go. It's a go for me.
Oh, it's a go all for right. Quark.
All right. Other things I saw. I just want to talk about Baby Reindeer for a second. I've only seen one episode.
The trending TV show right now on Netflix is Baby Reindeer.
Yeah, sleeper hit. Apparently based on a true story that really happened to the creator.
Wow.
Involving a stalker. But the good thing is it's only 30 minutes, so it breezes through. And it's very riveting, but it's kind of feels like those British shows like what's that? It's a Sex
End
Education.
End of the World.
Yeah, they have that weird sheen of BBC-ish.
Yeah,
so it does have that. But
plus, they're all half-hour shows. All these British
shows. Yeah, and then
like Starstruck.
And then lastly, The Jinx won't go too much into it, but
no, don't spoil it.
It's only one episode so far. Okay. But we just want to say, if you love The Jinx season one, you will love The Jinx season two.
Wait, I think we are in unison. Are we? That for me, paren, the greatest documentary I've ever seen is
the true crime
documentary. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Jinx season one now.
Yeah, is that yours, Ramon, or is it?
It doesn't really matter so much what I say because I don't really watch a lot of true crime docs.
I do.
So
no, it's like, asking me. You love the one, "If I Will Follow You Into the Dark." What's that one? Which is pretty good.
Yeah. That's a great one.
Yeah. But Jinx definitely has the best finale. maybe it's the best season finale of all time. But I'll just say this. It gets a little grating how self-congratulatory Jinx season two is.
Like, literally, the producers are going like this.
Right? Like, so it's not... It's in the news that he got arrested like a day before the finale happened, right? But, you know, there's just one of those things, like he gets arrested in a hotel and one of the guests is like, "Hey, you're Robert Durst from the HBO show." And then all the news clips are just like, "Well, Robert Durst on the HBO, the Jinx. But I've been getting on, like, oh, because of the Jinx." But also the good thing is they have, like, because of the Jinx, they have so much access. Like, insane. Yung mga meetings between Robert Durst and, you know, the prisoner talks that are supposed to be confidential.
Yeah.
They have footage of that. They have footage of interrogation. Like,
wow. Yeah. Is that even allowed?
I don't know. Feeling good. It's one of those things where, you know what? You led to the arrest of this guy. So what's really interesting, though, is I remember when I said Jason Blum said that the brother was in it. Jason Blum is not involved. The Blumhouse is not involved in Jinx 2. So I don't know. Maybe they let the brother go in exchange for...
Wow. That deserves its own true crime doc.
Give us more footage and we'll let you off the hook.
Yeah. Oh.
Backdoor deals.
Backdoor deals.
So far, pretty good?
So far, pretty good. First step, yeah.
How many eps is the second season?
I don't even know. Yeah. Should be like 6 lang or something.
How many eps is Baby Reindeer, for that matter?
Baby Reindeer is 8. Yeah.
So 4 hours. Mm. Okay.
Yeah.
So both are worth it. I think Baby Reindeer, no? You said it's a go. I wanna see it.
Yeah.
I wanna see it.
Wow. A lot of positives.
Yeah.
So I guess it's all my green.
Turn. Yeah.
But Quark, I'm surprised you didn't talk about Sympathizer.
So because I knew you would talk about it, so I can talk about it.
I've only seen one episode and so far it's still very basic Park Chan-wook stylized. Everything The transitions between shots are just crazy. But so far, it hasn't really hooked me with the pilot. I don't know when you're supposed to latch on to the show. Because it's so chic. And it's too cold for me.
Who's the script writer? Who's adapting it?
I'm not sure, but RDJ is there. So it's like House of RDJ is, I think, behind the...
I think he and his wife are producing, yeah. Right? And it's a Pulitzer-winning novel, so that has quite a pedigree. So I'm curious, who wrote the script?
In fairness, parang I mean, it seems like the cast was completely Vietnamese, and they definitely shot a lot of it in Vietnam. So Don McKellar and Park Chan-wook. So I think Park Chan-wook actually kind of storied by type. So he was... Red Violin? What? Red Violin and Blindness.
But the movie?
Yeah.
The adaptation of Jose Saramago with Fernando Meireles.
Yeah. And Julianne Moore. But, But Park Chan-wook, definitely, you can feel his presence. But it's lighter. Sure. It's the Martin Scorsese loving... Park Chan-wook, yung maraming freeze frames. Mm. May mga, mm-hmm. Let's go back to the beginning.
And it's a satire?
I don't think so.
No,
or black comedy?
More political, spy, no?
Yeah, political espionage.
Pero straight drama?
No.
May black M elements, yeah. More okay. So than, yeah. Because I think his prior show was Little Drummer Girl, right? That was kind of straight up. Drama. This one is kind of slick. It does feel like a Casino, for example. Parang ganun.
My other question, I've only seen the trailer, no? And I know a little bit about the book, but considering the tone, is it justified that, or has RDJ already done the multiple roles in episode one?
He's done two. I don't know, yeah. He's done one role in one, and then he does another role in two. Okay. Not justified. No, in the sense that Bianca was like, is he pretending? Because he's a CIA agent in the first, right? And then in the second, he plays a professor in UCLA or something. Bianca thought that he was being...
In character, playing someone else.
Basically doing an Ethan Hunt. So parang obviously na si Robert Downey Jr. So medyo... Tilda Swinton, you ain't.
Meryl Streep,
but
you
just
ain't.
Won an Oscar.
Yeah, I mean, for being RDJ, basically.
This show has 12 executive producers. So I'm just looking at the credits.
Yeah. So are you expensive. Yellow on it?
I'm still on yellow.
That's how bright. Wait. By the way, that's how we cheat sheet a green red yellow.
Wait a minute, take a should you even be giving it a whatever traffic light after one app?
Not yet nga eh. But so far, after one app, I've decided to just wait for the multitude of episodes to drop so I can watch in succession. But another thing on HBO that I am completely in love with is, of course, Conan O'Brien's return to TV, which is his Conan O'Brien Must Go, his remotes. You know, Conan's
Max,
remotes.
Wala ng HBO.
Yes, it's on HBO Max. I mean, HBO Go. I was surprised. So Sympathizer is on HBO Go. The Jinx is on HBO Go. I thought they would just be in Max, but guess not. We are lucky enough. To get these episodes in our...
But the Conan? Yeah, I couldn't find Conan.
I was watching HBO Go with Conan. And I'm so happy to see him back on screen. That's all I can say. He's such a presence, no? I think amongst all the late night hosts, he's really such a touchstone in American culture. And
I'm sure it feels weird lang for Quark and I know because we have such fond memories of basically shaping our comedic sensibilities watching him late at night. Nung MSNBC pa eh, but there wasn't even, they would just show two episodes a week back in when we were teenagers. But it's kind of weird now to consider that he is now the elder statesman of the late
and
night hosts.
If you watch Conan, it's the VO, the intro is voiced, I think, by Werner Herzog.
Yes.
And the line is so funny. He was like, you know, once a late night legendary king, now a podcaster.
There was a recent episode kasi nag-guest si Herzog on the podcast. And then he said something of his own volition. He was just talking about, like, you know, what do they, because they expect so many pretentious sort of things from such an artist, diba? And then he was like, yes, but I also watch like reality TV. So what's that one, the one show, you know, Here Comes Honey Boo Boo. It's talagang everyone in the studio lost
that
it.
That clip went viral, Honey Boo Boo.
Yeah, yeah. They made it into like a soundboard button. Eh. When you press a button, it becomes Here Comes Honey Boo Boo.
Grabe, no? And parang naka-resurgence siya because of the Hot Ones episode.
Which was grabe, hilarious, was such a nice Hot Ones interview.
Medyo tragic character talaga si Conan, no? Na, ano, like...
A little bit.
Yeah, he was,
but that's to us.
Huh? Is he really tragic? I don't know. I mean, he's...
No, but no, like, because he got denied the throne, eh. Oh, yeah. Eh.
And he kind of had, did you see that small diss in the Hot Ones, like, up to Jay Leno? Like, I think he really, Jay Leno really fucked him over, right? So, it's super.
But I don't think his trajectory was tragic at all, because it even made him more endearing to the public.
Maybe, but I mean, it's not definitely not the success he would have had had he stayed.
Can you imagine if he was there with all these fucking losers like James? I know what's this, the Jameses.
That's why I don't think it would have. I think it panned out for the better for Conan.
I mean, I think he would have lorded it over though. If
I know, think?
Yeah, I think. I mean, definitely had James Corden and Jimmy Fallon and Jimmy Kimmel. I think I think he would have won that battle. Pero
But they didn't even give him the chance. Sir.
Yeah, na-cancel siya. It was still Letterman, eh. Diba? It was still the Letterman days. And then, yeah. So, and then fucking Jay Leno retired, like, I hate that guy so much, man. He retired, two years after getting the Tonight Show back, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah. And then who replaced him after?
Fallon.
Was it Fallon, huh?
Mm-mm. Yeah. Oh. I mean, in an ideal world, it would be it would be Conan and Seth.
Yeah. Seth Meyers.
On NBC.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Diba? Tapos,
but anyway, Conan must go. If you're a fan of Conan's remotes from back in the day, my favorites will always be the Steven Yeun episode remotes. And the Ice Cube ones are hilarious when they drive through LA. But these remotes are fantastic. So far, the Thailand/Bangkok remote, I mean, episode for Conan Must Go has been just a laugh and a half. It's always nice to see a super white guy in Asia, and he's like a fish out of water, 6'4" white man, and interacting with, you know, smiley Asians who don't know how to speak to him. It's just the best.
What's the concept of Conan Must Go?
It's pretty much his remotes.
But I know, but yeah,
to someone
right?
who doesn't watch the
a
show,
on the podcast, he invited some fans to chat with him. And if he found these fans endearing enough, he decided to visit them in their home country. And then that would set off like an adventure for him. So the first episode is Norway.
No celebs.
Second episode is Thailand. Third, I'm not sure. Third and fourth, I'm still not. I haven't looked at the episode list. But I think it's just 4 episodes for this run. And you can tell that Conan he loves doing this shit, right? Just going to countries, meeting people, interacting with them, doing bits with them. And he's the best at it.
Wow.
That's so
it's
my
all
record.
Go? It's all go?
Absolutely. If you want a good time, Conan Must Go.
Well, do you want another super green light?
Yeah, challengers.
Yes.
Yeah.
Come on, so, I'm really upset that it's an Ayala exclusive.
It's not my doing.
Why? Because you don't like the Ayala.
No, because there's
theater.
No Ayala cinema near her.
There is.
There's none. They don't count Alabang Town Center.
Really?
Yeah.
What?
Why?
I don't know. Ridiculous. I saw the cinema.
They never have they never have it? That's weird. It should play at Alabang.
Is not.
It's a very Alabang crowd movie. Charot. What was I going to say? So, yeah. Challengers, the new film by Luca Guadagnino.
Woohoo!
starring Zendaya, Josh O'Connor, Mike Feist.
Oh my god.
Score by Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross, following their collaboration from Bones and All. Written by Justin Kuritsky's, which fans of this podcast may know. Woo-hoo! As the husband of Past Lives writer-director Celine Song. So if you remember the white dude in Past Lives, sorta that character is based
on him. Really kind of cute.
He's cuter than John Magaro, at least.
Oh, for sure.
Wow.
For sure. Good on ya, Celine Song. Good on ya.
This is his first produced feature screenplay, and it was such a treat, apparently, that his next film is also with Luca, and that's Luca's next film, which is an adaptation of the William Burroughs novel Queer. What else? The other great thing about Challengers is that it's also got a threesome in the center roles. So there's easy jokes to make there, right? Like Ito Tennis Tambien, Past Lives 2. But yeah, I really, really loved it. It's maybe, apart from Dune 2, the best film of the year.
Wow.
And also, I was primed already to like it because it's set in the tennis world and we have these like high expectations. It's a nonlinear structure. But I mean, if you've seen the trailer, you know naman it's not. It takes place over like 13 years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then Mike Feist and Josh O'Connor play a doubles players who are in their juniors at the beginning. And then Zendaya sort of comes between them because they're both attracted to her.
Oh, she does come between
them. And yes, that's also very much the image we so use.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
It was too easy.
Well, I set him up. And then, but it's like really interesting. There's like mind games, the sort of drive and mental competitiveness you need to have to really be a champion in that kind of world of athleticism. And yeah, the style is very Guadagnino in the usual sensuous way, but not just for like intimate scenes. Even the tennis is like almost a dance, and there's some really dynamic shots. There's like even ball POV shots, racket POV shots, undercourt shots. And the score is like also Reznor Ross, one of their best, possibly one of the best dance albums of the year. And it also just flouts all the rules about score, because sometimes they'll just be having like a quiet talk in a hotel bar and then be like boom, pounding. So I'm like, it'll come in at very sometimes random, but it's actually more about what they're talking about. So we can pay attention to that. But wow. Yeah.
Where does this lie in the list of tennis movies?
In terms of tennis movies, I don't think there's like that many.
There's Match Wimbledon. Point. There's Wimbledon. Point,
which are both good.
Wimbledon's not that great. I mean, it's a rom-com.
It's true. I really like
but
Match
it's
Point.
Beautifully shot. That's a Darius Conji film, yung Wimbledon.
I like Match
it's
Point.
It's cute, but I wouldn't say it's great. Match Point isn't really about
it's
tennis
not about
to
tennis.
Me. Yeah. But this one very much is. So, yeah. Anyway, catch it.
How
please.
Is
it's
Zendaya's
exclusive.
Form as a tennis player?
It's pretty good. She trained with some people. You can see Josh O'Connor is very much like Nick Kyrgios. His parang peg, I think.
Mike Feist.
A little bit Nadal. Mike Feist is more classic. I'm not sure if it's like more Andy Murray / Federer.
The conservative
makes
player.
It look like it's so fast and I know.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's one shot that is so like ridiculous now. Even like as a tennis viewer myself, I'm like, no one does this very risky move. But it looks great cinematically. So it gets current why, you know, Luca would like fall into the temptation. Let's shoot it because it's terrific. But yeah, it super risks injury if you do this thing that happens in the movie. But yeah, it does look great. I'll say that.
Would you put this above Call Me By Your Name?
Yeah, yes.
Wow.
Well, it's...
Really?
Although this is more, this is more psychological mind warfare than like, you know, coming of age Oh. Ano ba? Why?
Sorry, I thought you were gonna say coming in peach.
So yeah, coming of age, you know, awakening. Yeah,
it's I mean, when you said the how Zendaya's form, I'm like, well,
hey-o.
You know what? I just checked Alabang Town Center. It has it, so I might watch it tomorrow. Woohoo!
Oh, okay. Guess who's apologizing to Ayala Cinemas?
Sorry, Ayala Cinemas. I won't tweet you in vain. Okay.
But I'm just glad that this movie even came here.
Is it not cut, right?
Wala namang nudity ito eh.
Ah, wala ba?
Is that a spoiler? Sorry, you can take it out.
There's no nudity. Okay. So it's not...
No, but it's very sensual.
It's not like
Itu very...
Mama Tambien and...
There are... No, no. It's
Call
not
Me By
like
Your
that,
Name, where there's a lot of, you know, thrusting.
I don't even remember the nudity in Call Me By Your Name. Was there? I mean, butts. There's sex scenes, but yeah. There's not like...
There's some butts.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there's probably, I think there's some butts in this. I mean, if that's a scoreboard you're going by, Mel, I think there's some butts in this.
What if that Josh O'Connor would be the most, the most successful of the...
Of the Crown peeps.
Of the Crown alum. Well, yeah, maybe Claire Foy pa rin, but... He has a moment.
Wala bang flowers si Debicki?
Also, the girl who played Margaret, Vanessa...
Kirby.
Vanessa Kirby. Has a great film career too.
I mean, Olivia Colman has already had a great career before Crown and after Crown. So
Matt Smith has a great career.
Yeah, they're all working. Jonathan Pryce.
Quark.
I think I was just like in the movie earlier. It was the trailer for Challengers, and then this is the trailer for
La Quimera.
I'm like, wow, this guy's everywhere.
Pero ang galing niya sa La Quimera. Ibang-iba from Challengers also.
Okay, I'm gonna see that.
So,
movie
yeah.
Too.
Very promising. Ano.
Very mabaho. The thing.
Wow.
No, diba? Parang you can really smell him in that movie.
Oh my gosh.
Smell-o-vision.
Yes. All right.
What else have you caught?
I don't know. What's this reference to?
Oh, no. I'm just curious. Like, did we skip anything?
I've been safe. I've been using protection. What
oh
do you mean?
My goodness. Well, good for you.
Grabe. What is this episode?
Because if you haven't seen anything, then you know I have a nice segue.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, how smooth is this when you have to say it? I'll go.
Speaking of Atticus Ross, love.
Akala ko speaking of people who don't bathe.
The thinnest of threads.
Pwede. Yeah. The Japans.
Oh.
We go to the main event, and that is. Wow.
Shogun.
Yeah. Shogun. The finale. Wow. All right.
So when we first talked about Shogun, we talked about how much we loved the series so far. But that was only until like the third episode, no? I think we only talked about the first three.
Yeah, the first three came out.
Bye-bye. Many things have happened since then in the show. But as a whole, what did you guys think of this miniseries? There's not going to be a season two. The showrunners have said it time and time again that there will not be season two. There might be further adaptations of the Clavel universe, but not in the Shogunate of Toranaga.
Kala ko naman, yung season two would be like, oh, if season one does well, then season two will just be all patayan. It'll be basically what everybody's been wanting, but
so are you in that camp?
I gotta admit, I'm sorry guys,
that you wanted to see a war.
I wanted to see because it was so set up. I mean, the action scenes were beautiful up till that point, right?
Spoiler alert, don't listen if you haven't seen the movie.
Like, I remember the attack of the sun was of Toranaga's son to Sina Ishido. That was a great action scene. There were some really good action scenes. So, and of course, you could see they were spending money. So I'm like, yeah, and of course, episode 9 ends in such a climactic,
bombastic way.
Yeah, revenge. It's time for the payoff. And then parang, wow, it's a really quiet finale, actually. So yeah, I wish there was more bloodshed, to be honest. But how about you guys?
But is the one thing the bloodshed? Is that more of a Western perspective?
Nox!
Charot! As if James Clavel is ano, eh, no? Mr. Asia.
Maybe.
But this curious... based on the pods that I've been listening to and when the with the writers who talk about it, this is, they pretty much straight up adapted the book. And in the book, you don't see any war.
And then, no, apparently the war is...
a dream.
No, and it's like avoided entirely, no? Like, because I thought, what's the name of the...
No. There is, barring there's a, I think there's an epilogue in the book where they talk about the Shido being captured and... for 3 days.
Yeah, but it's not the out and out war that was envisioned.
Parang epilogue,
because he was so outmaneuvered that he was able to win without the mass casualty. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. He didn't go the full Atreides.
Yeah. No, basically parang, oh, sorry, you're not getting the support. I guess you lose. Parang ganun. Give up now. So I thought there would still be a war in the book, but apparently parang yun nga. They were able to avoid it. So, yeah.
Like Quark, I was... When the credits came on in episode 10, I was like, what? We don't get anything? Especially since the trailers were all like, diba, Toranaga is in full battle gear and the posters are of him in his like armor. And that apparently only just happened in what episode was that where he was marching in his battle gear, but that was it.
Give it a flashback.
Yeah, I think it was even a flashback. You're right. And they spent all this time recreating his battle gear and taking all his photos, and we don't see him command his army. But I don't know. I guess I just have to accept that this is the ending that we were given by the showrunners and by the book. But if you think about it, the ending, the finale actually closed a lot of the all the storylines, and we should just be fine with it.
Yeah. I mean, I would have even been happy had they shown at least the face-off. And then they're like, oh, guess what? Parang, you know, it's lawless now to have your troops fight against me because Lady, what's her name?
Mariko?
Ochiba.
Ochiba.
Oh, yeah. Lady Ochiba said she's not supporting this war. And then holy in the shower or something.
Or for me, if it was in the epilogue, how he won the battle, pakita niyo na, di ba?
Yeah. Oh. But ano?
But Ramon, I see Ramon. I see Ramon's grimace. Okay, go Ramon. Yeah.
No. I mean, sa akin lang. Like, how would you execute it? Because you end with that him on parang standing on that hill, di ba? Very striking and iconic pose, and then we're gonna go pa to another.
I know,
scene.
But you know, I just want to see Toranaga in full battle gear doing stuff.
And then you could have cut to them, looking at each other, but in the battlefield.
It can be like that scene in Return of the King where Aragorn says "For Frodo," and then cut.
Yeah. Now that's a very Western. Imagine some. Toranaga.
I mean, basically the information
rallying
is
work, right?
Given right before Yabushi gets sepukud, right? Which I guess is a choice.
Ang ganda nung how no hesitation yung sepuko. Yung once he learned all he had, it's like, okay, let's go do this. Boom!
Parang ang galing mo, ha?
Oh nga.
Yeah, no, I love how they're like smirking at each other and parang, wow, you really outplayed everyone. And then...
That thread of the callbacks was really nice about how, you know, parang so many things were mirrored in the finale. I think, I mean, I'll admit, of course, syempre, I also had like, you know, at the end of episode 9, it's like, puta, you're all fucking dead. They were like, oh, we're gonna see. I was hoping, I mentioned in the group that I was hoping it was gonna be a 3-hour finale, just to have that whole war sequences. But when 10 started, then I realized pretty quickly now, oh, this is gonna be like an all grief episode.
Yeah, we're not gonna get like, anything.
And it was very effectively emotional, and then parang my bloodlust didn't need
seating anymore. Parang, okay, I think this is, I see what they're doing here. Na parang, you a wise one, Toranaga. You know what I mean? And this whole time, you know, I had my doubts, but you pulled through, you sly motherfucker.
And then, all the memes about him being the worst employer.
Yan lang. It's like, di ba parang, di ba, iba, sino, ikaw ba yung Mel na parang the last main character of the show you watched is gonna find you because you've been kidnapped or something one of those things.
Yeah.
And it's like, Toranaga, like, yeah, you're gonna get rescued, but how many of your friends are gonna die, di ba? Parang, it's gonna cost a lot, basically. But, yeah, I mean, it does wrap those things that you mentioned, but that's not always what I'm looking for in one, but it did close the whole sequence and give the characters really graceful exit notes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just battle like blue balls, I guess. Best way to describe it. Battle
like
blue
the nunnery.
Balls.
The nunnery doesn't deserve Fujisama.
Is she your favorite character?
She's my favorite breakout. Na parang I didn't expect this person to be like super astig.
Yeah.
And I actually thought we were gonna see some of the prostitutes again, the brothel house.
Yeah,
the geishas.
But if you think about it now, their exit note is that we're gonna here's your land right beside the church.
In Kyoto. You know what I found most interesting is the Western discourse throughout Shogun, where I see it on Twitter, where they're like, why are they committing so much suicide, or why can't they just decide for themselves that they don't want to do it, but they're doing it for their leader, etc. Parang, this is so Western, no? Because if you're in Asia, this is like completely normal. Just watching them go with their leader, just blindly following their leader, because that's pretty much what religion is, diba? You follow your leader.
Ano nga eh, parang, because my big thing with Shogun, my qualm was that, parang, for the longest time, I was calling it Much Ado About Anjin. Because parang, why is this guy still alive? He should have died a long time ago. Diba, parang, Ishiro.
Yeah, but Toranaga said he makes him laugh.
Yeah, diba? And then apparently, yun nga, parang, he was the distraction that caused the division among
the Christian, the two Christians in the region
and the leaders also on the council. So yeah, but I don't know. I mean, Cosmo Jarvis was always like, he reminds me of Tom Hardy. Na parang inflecting.
Why did he keep doing this booming voice?
Diba? And then he had this walk. I'm doing a walk. In the Japans.
Why? It's an interesting choice.
Have you seen him with his hair grown out?
Yeah,
it's so curly and
it's
kinky.
So funny. Oh, it's so kinky curls.
Afro talaga, no? Parang disco, but
parang I did not expect that.
But I want to remember how Richard Chamberlain played him in the 80s, because I guess in the 80s he's more of like a swash. Buckling hero, right? With a big dick. But Jarvis, I think, in this iteration is too bumbling and too...
But that's fine.
Is he? I found him...
Yeah, I mean...
He's not my favorite character, to be honest, on the show.
It decentralizes him nga, eh, diba? It returns Toranaga really to that parang position where everyone's orbiting him and just trying to figure out what the hell this guy's on, diba?
Instead of it being a fish out of water white savior story, it's really more of like Toranaga.
He's just a witness almost. Yeah. Actually, he's a pawn, eh, diba? I mean, that's made clear in the finale. There was this tweet I saw where it was like, get your Emmy ballots ready. And then it's like, wala si Cosmo. It's like there's a main actor, actress, supporting actor, actress, and they're all the Asians.
Good.
Diba? It's basically Anna Sawai, Moeka Hoshi,
Sanada.
Asano.
Yeah, also.
Yeah, and Sanada. So it's like, yeah, kompleto yung acting.
Yeah. Galing.
Solid.
Galing ni si Asano yung in the end, parang...
Yeah. Fuck. At first, it was just parang medyo jokey-jokey. Pero by the end, it's like, oh nga, this guy's been a fucking weird pervert the whole time.
I think Yabushige has been like the runaway fan fave of this show.
Right until episode 9.
Even episode 10 when he gave death poem and his will.
Yeah, ang ganda na kasi ano, ang poetic, ang genuine poetic ng mga kay Mariko, di ba? Tapos Yabushige goes, don't bury me, just leave me there.
Yeah, just let feed me
let
to
the
wolves.
Dogs eat me. Yeah.
Galing.
At least mabusog yung mga aso, di ba? Parang galing eh.
Meanwhile, I haven't read up so much on the cast, but I do know that Anna Sawai was in 2009, right? She was in Ninja Assassin. And then she comes back 2019 in Final Fantasy.
Monarch.
What? I think Final Fantasy. Fast and Furious 9.
What?
Yeah.
I don't even remember. Ah, yeah, siya yung kid ni ano. Siya ba yung daughter ni... What's his name? Oh, di ba?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
So parang...
That's so funny.
Like, what happened? Does anyone know what happened to her in the 10 years, in the interim between...
Let's just call them Jesus years.
And, yeah.
But yes, she rose
this year, this year alone, Monarch and then Shogun.
People keep forgetting that she was in Pachinko, guys. Come on. It was a minor role, though. But she'll play a bigger role in season 2 for sure.
Is that even being made?
Yeah. They're done filming.
Mauuna pa yung Severance 2, di ba?
Yeah. What can you do? I wish Pachinko had the same high profile or the same pull as Shogun. Because Pachinko was really fantastically made as well.
But it was nice to see, though, that Shogun was such a surprise smash for FX.
Why do you think, guys? I've been wondering about that. Why do you think it was such a big hit? I knew it would be a great show, but I didn't think it would be such a runaway hit for Hulu.
Yeah, but
or no FX.
Super promoting it. Also,
they weren't
like, yeah, diba? Parang,
yeah,
parang word
even
of mouth.
Even when the
siya.
First trailers dropped, it was medyo close na to the ano, release.
It was a word of mouth freight train, pretty much.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's also sort of really satisfied. Remember that first time we were talking about that, we were comparing it. It really feels like this is like the Game of Thrones that we call the kind of mist where people are just scheming and figuring stuff out and trying to maneuver each other and trying to use each other and kind of miss that. But they've also been really great with like cliffhangers. And then I remember like even the end of like episode 2 where the maid, you know, tries to assassinate
Anjin-sama.
Oh,
yes.
It's like,
yes.
Damn! Diba, parang you
and
really
Sonata
want to get to the next
everything,
episode.
I mean, Torunaga figured everything out.
Beforehand. That's why he switched rooms with ano, diba? So it's like, galing eh. Like, oh man. It's super compelling but also respectful. Even if it's sometimes a slow burn. It would give you just the right amount of like, you know, let's give a little tease of violence here. Para there's something that they really look forward to with the next episode. And then that's the other thing. But it was coming out in weekly drops.
And people were really waiting for the episodes. But do you think is it also because of this love affair that the world has with Japan at the moment, and this show just pulls back the curtain on the culture a bit? I'm really trying to figure out what made the show so popular.
Well, I think it was also the characters. Everybody, this is one of those rare shows na parang everybody has a favorite character, and yun nga may you posted a fan cut of Fujisa.
Oh yeah.
It's like, wow, I didn't even know Fuji was this
super sikat siya.
And then
in interview siya ng Vulture.
Oh, okay. Parang, what? And then, you, Mel, posted like, or you don't know, posted the, through the years, Hiroyuki
Sanada. Yeah. His fan cut.
So, it seems like, and then, of course, in the group, in the Facebook group, he was talking about
the music
Asano.
Video of Marilyn Reynes.
I mean, and then, everyone's
from
talking
his
about
Filipino
Asano
movie.
And everybody's talking, but like, everybody has their like favorite. And,
yeah, that gender, yung right hand man, you know, ni Torunaga na nagsepuho, di ba? Parang I know what you're doing, and I'm down for it. Like, oh, what?
Even yung ano, di ba? Even yung nasawa ni ni Mariko na
Buntaro.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
like
the asshole.
Yeah, parang galing yung guy na to.
Ganda na ng mga memes niya actually, di ba?
The crying. The international
crying,
face of crying.
Yung crying, oo.
I really don't think even the showrunners expected this kind of success.
Speaking of which,
but you know, I'm happy for them because it's about 6 years na to.
Yeah. See, Rachel Kondo has only this in her.
And her resume? IMDb. Really?
Where did this lady come from? Damn.
She's married to Justin Marks.
Ah, okay. I guess.
Wow, so your answer was nepotism. Nepotism.
Maybe.
I was going to say she's the sister of Marie Kondo, but I don't know.
Also nepotism.
Also nepotism, yeah. But also fiction.
Yeah. So, galing. Parang instant star. Instant, ano. And then biglang si Emily.
So, do you think FX is like calling Justin and Rachel like, guys, please, gajin na. Guys, start na.
Okay, Taipan.
I read Taipan. I remember Taipan.
King Rat. So,
is Clavel even alive? Did you answer this question?
No, he's not. But the daughter is involved. I don't think so because his daughter is,
yeah, exactly. Mm. The daughter is the one speaking for him at all these interviews. Okay.
Yeah. Beginning. Yeah, it's a phenomenon. It's
So green, it's emerald.
So green, it's evergreen.
Yeah. So you brought up the question in the group, like if you're having that shogun itch that you want to scratch, what else is there?
I can't believe nobody mentioned The Last Samurai, the seminal Tom Cruise samurai movie.
And Zwick.
With Sanada.
Two steps back.
Oh, yan ang white savior.
Diba? Parang disco.
How about Game of Thrones?
How about another very mid adaptation? Well, actually, I wish they would remake this because I think as a series, it would be so much better. Memoirs of a Geisha.
Yeah, and finally cast Japanese people, no?
Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking about that the other day because if I was a showrunner and I would make existing IP better adaptation, it would definitely be Memoirs because that book did not deserve that movie.
Who wrote the book?
I forgot. Oh my gosh. But I read that. I could not put it down.
But was it someone also Western?
It was written by...
Because it strikes me as funny.
It is
like,
American.
For example,
Arthur Golden. Yeah. Yes.
So Memoirs, Last Samurai, and Shogun are all set in Asiatics. But,
the Asiatics.
They're all,
in the Japans.
They're all Western. All Western
Clark,
authors.
Please do a Blackthorn voice.
Yeah, I just said it. In the Japans. I want my shit back. It's so funny when he tries to speak in Japan. That's my Cosmo Jarvis complaint. I cannot accept that he can speak Japanese in a month. He's not that smart.
It's longer than a month. Yung training in Edo period was much longer, pero still nakatawa.
I can't believe. So Memoirs of a Geisha, it is Zhang, what's her face?
Zhang Ziyi.
Wow.
What can't you believe?
Why would you cast a Chinese woman to play a Japanese woman?
Eh, kung si Emma Stone nga kinuhang Asian, di ba?
Okay, what's your related watch list for Shogunates?
I commented.
Tayo yung original silence, di ba? Tayo yung original silence recommenders.
No, but Ran and Throne of Blood by Kurosawa.
Ran of Kurosawa.
Like, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Those are like, I mean, honestly, all the Kurosawa samurai films, but yeah.
Seven
I think
samurai,
thematically, this like power play are most apparent. The Shogun, yeah, exactly. The Shakespearean Shogun dramas are those two, right? So, yeah.
Ramon, what would you reco?
Same. Silence, Game of Thrones.
Silence talaga.
Succession.
Silence by Martin Scorsese. And Wango didn't take it seriously. I was like, Wango, because it's so funny. It's so spot on. No,
but Wango loves Silence.
Yeah.
He never gets it when me and Phil are with him, pero.
I am just looking at this list of actors who are in Memoirs of a Geisha. I hated this film so much, I don't remember it anymore. Gong Li played Hatsumomo. Oh my gosh. She's Chinese.
All I remember is it looks fantastic.
It's Dion Beebe.
Is it Rob Marshall who's the director?
It is Rob Marshall.
Mm. After, with no songs, after Chicago.
Michelle Yeoh was in this. Jesus, no, she's Malaysian.
I mean, but she's truly Asian. Grabe, naunahan ko po. Hong Kong internet beat Singapore.
Dami yung baon. Damn. Yeah. Damn.
What are your choices, Mel?
I like I said, I picked Last Samurai because Sanada's in there. And he's playing another
Sama mo na yung Rising Sun if we're talking about Western authors talking about Japan.
I do agree with Seven Samurai and I think it was Yojimbo.
Yeah, Sienna Mark Daniel Francisco. Always a great commenter.
Okay.
What did he say?
Yeah. He said the Samurai trilogy of But the recent one, the one with Sanada in it. Which I've not seen any of those, so I think I'll check those out. Yeah.
Isn't there a great ninja show right now on Netflix? I think it came out earlier this year that I didn't get to catch. I forgot what it was.
Someone recommended Yung House of Ninjas.
That was that's the one. That's one. House of Ninjas. Mm.
So yeah,
that's not a great name. I mean, the whole point of ninja is you're invisible, unseen. Parang announcing yourself as House of Ninjas and like they're here.
Wait, I do guys. Have a reco because I watched the first few eps of Shogun na sinusundot ko this other show and it's Tokyo Vice Season 2. It's time for me to finish it.
Oh, so it's good?
I think it picks up. Yeah, it picks up in the middle.
I mean, I finished Season 2, but I don't think there's going to be a Season 3, but the first half of Season 1 was a little tropey, and then but the second half kasi became
it kicks in in the second half of Season 1.
It became a righteous journalism show.
Yeah, go journos.
So that's why I was like, oh, it's starting to get better.
Go journos, go Michael Mann. But yeah, second season gets better.
Is Michael Mann involved in Season 2?
Wala na. Executive producer na lang.
Mm.
And
because he was busy with Ferrari.
What's his face? What's the name
Ansel,
of the actor?
Ansel, ano ba?
Ansel Elgort is not as kind of like, annoying in season. Not as annoying in season.
Pero
two.
Still the weakest link. Mm. Maybe a little bit better, but still
not as
the
annoying.
Least
definitely
interesting.
Yeah. Is anyone from the Shogun cast in ano? In
I don't think so.
No.
Not anybody super prominent. However, Ken Watanabe is in The Last Samurai.
He is also in Memoirs of a Geisha and also
in Ringu.
Also in Memoirs of a Geisha, and it blows my mind. The guy in Perfect Days. So
and
I think that's...
Don't forget Pokemon Detective Pikachu.
Ken Watanabe. I think he needs a resurgence.
Watanabe's most
a renaissance.
Serious role. Chow Yun-fat, where is he?
Oh, nga, no?
Why? Where was he? In Last Samurai?
Wala, hindi siya kinakast in any Western projects.
He's in Memoirs of a Geisha also, joke.
Wala. I'm checking.
Yeah, they made it a point to put all the Chinese actors in.
If you guys were to adapt a book into a series that failed as a movie, what would it be?
Failed as a movie... I don't know. I don't have these things in my back pocket. What failed as a movie?
Well, you know what?
Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil was not a good movie, but the book is fantastic.
So. A book. That's one of my favorite books of all time.
Diba? Diba the movie was not great.
As in, I buy copies of that book when I see it cheap, and then I just give it as gifts to friends.
It needs a longer series treatment.
Yeah, I would go with that. Sure.
The movie adaptation... was not terrible. I know Ramon will disagree. But From Hell really deserves to be more faithful to its
source. Wait, you said I would disagree with what?
Because the movie's not terrible. I didn't think who are the Melendez brothers? No, who are those guys again?
Didn't they kill their parents? The Melendez brothers?
Yeah.
Albert and
Hughes brothers, yeah.
You remember From Hell with Johnny Depp and Heather Graham?
You're Talking to Mel, right?
Yeah, of course, you're Talking to Mel. Yeah. You don't remember that movie?
About Johnny Depp, Heather Graham.
About Jack the Ripper.
See, Ian Holm.
Isn't that From Hell?
Yeah.
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 Yeah, yeah. So, okay. No, but it's... did you like the movie?
It's okay.
Yeah, it was okay.
Yeah, nothing great.
No, I agree with that. I mean, it's not a great movie, but it's, I think, a decent film and arguably pa nga the better... Ito yung magagalit sa akin yung group. Probably the best Alan Moore adaptation.
Pero hindi counted ang Watchmen, right? Kasi it's...
Them... Nah.
Kasi si Watchmen, I know Watchmen is the was
Damon
a movie.
Watchmen, huh? No, the Damon Watchmen isn't really an adaptation. Ah, yeah.
Hindi naman adaptation ng Damon Watchmen. Sequel yun. Oh,
tama, tama ka dyan. So, what else is an Alan Moore? So you like it more than, let's say, V for Vendetta, for example?
Well, yeah, kasi V for Vendetta got the... That's accurate in adaptation, but inaccurate in the spirit of the work. Diba? And then the problem with Snyder beyond the usual is it was so slavish an adaptation that he didn't know what the heck was... It was so boring. I couldn't believe he made one of my favorite books boring as hell.
Super.
Ano pa?
And then, yeah,
well, League isn't even the not even the right.
You might
script,
be right there, so, but
it's I mean, in terms of like, I can watch From Hell.
Yeah,
it's a beautiful movie. Also, not the best actors, but gorgeous filmmaking.
What? Were you not the best actors? Don't you think that was like Heather Graham's prime Johnny years Depp and Johnny doing... Depp's prime years, right? There?
I mean, it's
Heather
a prime
Graham
years
with her
it's like,
accent.
It's like saying Keanu was in his prime years when he made Dracula. Parang ganun.
Okay, fine.
Yeah, they were most attractive, but we're talking about acting wise. Yeah.
Yes, you're right.
Yeah,
you're right.
So I would still watch From Hell, and the structure was so different. And actually,
Mm-mm.
The Hughes brothers.
Yeah.
like,
yeah.
Am I delayed?
I already said it.
Because I was fixated on Melendez. Why is Quark bringing up Melendez brothers?
I almost said Los Bros Hernandez, pero obviously hindi naman sila yan, diba? Different medium of legends.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. It's been a long day, guys. I've been up since 4 a.m.
Okay. How long was this episode?
It's perfect.
I love it. Okay.
Wow. All right. And all green lights.
Oh no, people are even complaining that we didn't watch anything sucky.
So is our next episode the 1999 episode?
I would love to do a 1999 retrospective.
Can I? Because we usually do that one movie each, and we talk about one movie each, right?
Yes.
Can I propose something that's a little more work, but it's deserving of the year?
Yes.
Top 10 of 1999.
But I have to rewatch everything. Okay.
I have a book on 1999.
Me too. Yeah. I do. I also do.
Yeah.
I think we all have the same book.
We all have the same one.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
All right. I will read
this. So those are our marching orders. And I think maybe we should invite also our Enslate Facebook group to join this little challenge that Quark has put upon us.
Akala ko pa naman, your challenge was going to be we choose what the other person talks about.
No, I like the top 10. Assignment. It's such a seminal year.
You know, strangely enough, you have been already. You started watching, you watched Talented Mr. Ripley.
I did.
Right?
So unconsciously.
I watched Phantom Menace, the fuck. It's Scarlet.
Oh my.
But basically, yeah. It's the gift that keeps on giving talaga, 1999.
I did watch parts of The Matrix.
Right?
Was that 99?
Yeah. That's 99, yeah.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, you know. But talaga yung 99. And I watched Insider also like 2 years ago.
I refuse to watch American Beauty because I feel... Well, anyways, again, let's save it.
Let's save it. But I know what you mean.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks, everyone.
All right. Bye.
Good night.